AE, put the beat on. Hey, Taylor, you like this joint?
Yeah, this beat hard.
Yeah, you sure you like this joint? You would tell me if you didn't, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, this don't go hard.
All right, cool. This my man, Scottie Pimpin' joint.
Okay, all right, then.
Matter of fact, I got something for this.
Got something like what?
Welcome to the top shelf. Where the flavor so hot, but you will not melt. About to take you on a ride like you never felt. Up and down real smooth like a carousel. Moving in our own lane, no parallel. Everybody needs sleep, it's good for your health. If you stuck like Chuck, I might have a help. Cause we talk sports, life, and everything else.
It's on a podcast.
What's poppin', ladies and gentlemen? We thank you, as always, for tuning into Sleep, the Sports Life and Everything Else podcast presented by the Away Team and coming to you from the Top Shelf. This is Season 4, Episode 11. My name is Michael Roberts, a.k.a. Mike on the Mic, and I'm joined by my co-host, Taylor Suber.
Yo, what's up?
Taylor, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, man. Can't complain. All right in these streets.
That heat outside ain't beating you down?
No, it wasn't hot this week, was it?
I mean, it's a little warm out there. It's
like
a little humid.
Like 81, 82. I can deal with that. Yeah, okay. I'm straight, yeah.
As well as our producer, E.
What up? What's up?
E, how you feeling?
Yo, I'm chilling. No long rides this weekend. I gave the knees a rest, man, you know? Okay. So, did a couple little store runs. I actually did something before y'all came, a little loop around Suburban Square and up the hill and, you know, some little recreational. But I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just glad to see my boys back.
Beautiful.
Welcome back to the Top Shelf with Mike and Taylor.
Yay. You can follow us on Twitter and IG at Sleep Is For You. That's SLEEPIS, the number 4YOU. Subscribe and listen to new or old episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, or YouTube. Like episodes, leave comments, show love, show hate. We here for it all. You can also keep up with us through sleepisforyou.com, our website, where I am very happy to announce we published our first post in the blog vault. So if you haven't already, you can look it up now. It's called Defense Wins Championships, written by yours truly. And we're going to be having more content coming there very soon. Mm. So we're trying to come to you guys in all ways possible via audio, video, and in print. Mm-hmm. But tonight we've got one top five for y'all, a solid common sense based topic, have you seen, have you heard, big deal, no big deal, and of course the sports talk that always keeps you entertained and informed. Our showtime is 5:35, so let's spin.
Yeah!
The Warriors led for the better part of Game 1 on Thursday night, but in the fourth quarter, the Celtics turned things upside down by scoring a total of 40 points to only 16 from Golden State, which led to their victory and gave them a 1-0 lead in this final series. Powered by 24 points from Jaylen Brown, 26 from old Al Horford, and 21 from Derek White off the bench, to go along with 18 from Marcus Smart, they only needed 12 from Jason Tatum to get that W. It definitely helped that the Celtics had a better field goal percentage than the Warriors from everywhere, from regular range, from three-point range, and from the free throw, had a better percentage. And
they let Al shoot.
Old Al.
That's what it was.
Like,
they was daring him to shoot, and he said, I'm going to shoot, but they was going in.
Yeah. Yo, you know what I hate? When people always leave the Sixth, you know, they'll be good somewhere, come here, they stink, or they'll be average, and then they'll go back to somewhere else and then just be beast mode. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, Al, he was lighting it up.
He never wanted to leave. I think that's what it was. He never wanted to leave Boston, so the Sixers paid him the money that the Boston didn't want to pay him. Boston gave that money to, what's his name, Kemba Walker.
Kemba.
That didn't work out, and then Al, you know, went to OKC and didn't play.
Found his way back to Boston,
and now I can play right now. So that's kind of what it was. He never wanted to play. He never wanted to leave Boston.
And I tweeted that I thought Boston looked extremely comfortable, which I stand behind, for this to be the first finals for their team. And they didn't look flustered. And that's evidenced by the fact that they had one less turnover than Golden State for the game. They weren't fumbling the ball around. They were about business and put the Warriors on notice that this isn't going to be a sweet series.
Yo, they look like a bigger team, too. They look big.
Yeah.
They look big in there.
I mean, they do have good size.
Yeah, you got Robert Williams and Horford. That's pretty much all you need against the Warriors. So the Warriors are going to have to see. I don't know why the Warriors went to Andre Iguodala. I don't like how that was
kind of weird.
That's
weird. Was all of a sudden playing heavy, well, not heavy minutes, but a good amount of minutes.
I don't like that. I thought
he was just coming back from injury. Like, why don't you work him back in?
Yeah, like I didn't like that. They gave him a little too much. He was a minus too. So when they brought him back, he didn't contribute anything. So
probably because of experience.
Yeah, I know why, but Kuminga and I know Porter played, but Porter, I think Iguodala played more than Porter.
And Porter's back out now.
He's back. I think Steve Kerr's got to. He's got to trust the 19-year-old because he was playing well right before Memphis, but then he kind of scaled his minutes back. So I think he got to be careful with this Andre Iguodala thing because he's not what he was 4 or 5 years ago. He's just not.
Yeah, Steve Kerr got to watch these rotations.
I'm sorry, I'm messing his name up. Andre Iguodala. That's what I call him. But I don't. He's had 2 days. He needs to figure out a better rotation. So, yeah. I mean, because Boston is a pretty much young team. I think if he goes with Kuminga, am I saying his name right? Kuminga.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga, and of course, Poole. And then, he said Porter's out, right?
Yeah, and Peyton is still out.
I thought Peyton was supposed to play.
He's working his way back, but yeah, I think when I looked at the scouting report, it looks like he's out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He got to get something from Moody. Moody's not ready. Yeah. Moody's definitely not ready.
Yeah, Gary Payton's out tonight. Iguodala's out, and Otto Porter is day to day, so he might play this game.
He might play. All right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't like Andre Iguodala just being thrown out there. So he's got to get himself a rotation. He has to. I don't know who it is. Is it Biamaji? Another assistant, the guy who told the Sixers F you. He didn't want to play for the Sixers a couple of years ago.
Who's that?
Bamaja, the white boy, the big white boy number is 88. The big
Oh, I know who you're talking
BMG,
about.
Is it Bamaja?
The shooter. That's not it, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, remember the Sixers signed him.
Bielitsa.
He told the Sixers, no, I'm good. He went overseas and then came back and played for Sacramento. I was like, damn, that's dirty. It's like 4 or 5 years ago. He said, no, I'd rather play overseas than play for the Sixers. And then came back in midseason and played for like the San Antonio Spurs or something like that. That's dirty. So Steve Kerr needs to get like a rotation. He needs to get a rotation.
He needs to get a better rotation.
Yeah, because I like what Steph was doing, but you need something from someone else. You got to get at least 3 or 4 guys off that bench.
And that's why you got Poole to come in to be a spark.
You got Poole, but you need someone else now. Yeah, you need someone else.
That kind of drops, but they do still have Damian Lee, who hasn't played much in the past few series.
Kuminga needs to be in.
Kuminga in there.
He didn't play at all. He needs to be in. And I know he's 19, but he's got to be the spark. He has to be.
Yeah,
you got to trust him. I know he's 19 and everything. He's young, and I know y'all got something, building for the future with him. But I think he's got to get his feet wet. He has to. Got to get out there and get it in.
How you gonna get experience if you don't play?
Yeah, he got to play. I know he likes to shorten up his rotation. Those guys got to play.
So that brings us to tonight, where according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, the Celtics are favored to win this game. The numbers are, I'm sorry, Golden State took over. So it's 42.2% to 57.8%.
57 points said to go for Golden State, right? Yes. I mean, yeah, they kind of got to win tonight. Yeah, they got to.
If they lose tonight, it's
I don't want to say it's over with, but my God, it's going to be like a head scratch. Like, dang, tough, man. Yeah, but the Golden State, I mean, they were up pretty much the whole game, and then the bottom fell out in the fourth quarter. They got to get it in, man. They got to, man. I need Clay to do. I think Clay only had like 15 points a couple nights ago, right? So he's got to do a little bit more.
Clay was a little light the other night.
Yeah, so they just got to get some more points from other people.
I was shocked because, I was up late watching it, and Golden State looked like they was pretty much in control.
Yeah.
And I didn't went to sleep.
That's what happened to me. I kind of stopped paying attention. I got home and I was like, wait a minute. When did all this happen?
I went to sleep and woke up and it was like Boston was celebrating game one. I was like, oh,
it happened
wow.
that fast. Yeah, it was a quick turnaround in the fourth. Because usually when Golden State gets up on you in the third, You know, the fourth quarter they just kind of maintained, but Celtics, they said, "No, we ain't done yet."
Next thing you know, Jason Tatum is dapping up Jay-Z courtside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 12 and 13. You know what I mean? 12 and 13 assists.
Yeah, so. Jason Tatum had a pretty light game.
Yeah, but 13 assists.
13 assists is a big difference.
I like 13 assists. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think he set the record over MJ and all of them.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Clay Thompson at 15.
Yeah, they did. They got to get a little bit more.
Otto Porter had 12.
Yeah, but you say he's not playing this game, right?
Nah, he's out tonight.
They got to figure something out. They better get a rotation. Like you said, Damian Lee, whoever it is, Kuminga, somebody got to come through off that bench, man. Biamaji, I'm tearing this man's name up. I'm tearing this white boy's name up.
Oh, he's not even getting burned right. Oh, wait, yes, he did. He got a minute, and he had a three.
Yeah, they got to get somebody up. Somebody out there to spread those minutes out. They got to.
Yeah, they got to give Stephen them a blow, obviously.
Yeah,
so.
Wiggins is playing awesome this whole postseason. So mm-hmm. you gotta spread these minutes out, man. You got to, man. You just can't have 3-4 people and just depend on them. You need about 7-8, sometimes 9 people. So.
You know what's funny about that though is that coming into this series, I saw Kendrick Perkins was talking about it, and he said that the question of the finals is whether you can keep up the high level of play that you had going into the finals as it pertains to Andrew Wiggins. And he said he didn't believe that he could, but, you know, game one, he had 20 points.
He's Kendrick Perkins is compromised because he picked the Celtics. So when everyone else was picking Golden
pick
State,
the Celtics.
Yeah, he picked the Celtics. So he's compromised.
Mm.
But, you know, like I said, I just want to see a good season. Even though I did before all this, I said Golden State going to win at 5. I would rather see a 6 or 7 game series where it's competitive. So if Celtics got to win this first game to make it competitive, then by all means, I just want to see a good series. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So even if Celtics win, I just want to see competitive basketball. I've seen too many blowouts, and that Sixers series, that was hard for me to watch. Like, I thought that was there was nothing about the Sixers going against Miami that was like, oh yeah, it was just me shaking my head the whole time. Like, this is awful.
Yeah.
Awful basketball. I'm sorry. It's just what it was to me. Damn. So I just want to see these two teams to go against each other and play. I don't care if it's one, if you win one, you lose one. I don't care if you go back and forth, and then game 7 is for everything. So,
mm-hmm.
And Boston has gone, 7 the last 2 series. So
yeah.
Boston
has gone 7 games every series except the first series.
After getting Brooklyn the hell up out of here, they going 7 with the other 2 teams. So
uh-huh.
I don't mind seeing them go 7. If it is 7, I wouldn't mind. As long as it's good basketball.
All right. Well, we figured that instead of doing our first top 5 this week, we would instead do something a little different. So we're going to pose a question. The question is, speaking of the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, if Steph Curry and the Warriors win another ring, which will be his 4th, will he be in the conversation of top 10? So, obviously, we had to do a little thinking on this one. We had to do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
But I pulled up some stuff. And in the 75th anniversary list, Stephen Curry is currently ranked 16th. With only 2 point guards higher than him, Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I put together a little list of my own. It's not necessarily by the 75th team list. It was just, and it's not necessarily in a specific order, but I got Michael Jordan at 1, Bron at 2, Russell at 3, Kobe Bryant 4, Wilt Chamberlain 5, Kareem 6, Shaq 7th, Larry Bird 8th, Magic Johnson 9th, and Tim Duncan 10th. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking through this 5, and I'm comparing them to Steph Curry. And the lowest amount of rings on this list is Wilt Chamberlain with 2. So if Steph Curry were to win 4, and he went into the 5 and knocked Wilt Chamberlain out, that's a little hard. Wilt's the only person in history to score 100 points.
Yeah.
His average, his point for game average is ridiculous, so we can't do that.
Yeah.
So the next guy up with 3 rings is Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking over Bird's stats. I'm looking over Steph's stats.
Yeah.
And honestly, their numbers are nearly identical.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to points per game at 24.3, assists per game at 6.3, and steals per game around 1.7.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bird has the edge in rebounds per game, playing the bigger position and being taller.
Yeah.
But Bird is the closest person I feel Steph could push out.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I do think that winning a 4th ring would put him in the conversation. You could talk about him amongst those names.
Yeah.
but it doesn't quite put him solidified in that spot yet.
Yeah.
As for those two guys, Bird is a legend for many reasons. And at a time where the NBA was fading, him and Magic Johnson brought it back to greatness.
They call him Larry Legend up in
Boston. Exactly, which is difficult to overcome. But as of this year, both of them have played 13 seasons in the league. Because Bird only got 13 in, and this is Steph's 13.
Yeah. Bird back went out. That was a wrap.
Exactly. So Steph, by all accounts, has years ahead of him where he could win more titles and possibly more MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
So Steph has time to overcome the difference. And if he gets that fifth ring, I think he takes the spot outright.
Fourth or fifth?
If he gets a fifth.
Oh, damn. So he got to get... Oh, so he's got three right, man.
So if he gets the one this year and he gets one more after
that... So you say he got to get five.
I think he takes that spot.
So basically you're saying no. I can respect that.
Because here's the thing, like... Mm-hmm. Steph's a two-time NBA scoring champion, and Bird never did that.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Bird was three-time all-defensive second team, and nine-time all-NBA first team, and Steph's never made an all-defensive team, and he's only been on NBA first team four times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to say by the ring comparison that he should take that spot, but when you look at the whole landscape of it and extrapolate it out to all that Bird did over the course of his 13 years, I don't think Steph's caught him at this point. He's had the same amount of time in the league, but he will have more. So I think that's going to end up playing out in that direction that he's going to do that.
I got you.
So what's your thoughts? What's your opinion?
See, the thing is with me, like, I understand what everything you said there, but he's like, he just passed Ray Allen for the all-time threes. And you know he's going to, like, build that up to a point where I don't know if anybody's going to be able to pass him.
And that was like a season or two ago.
I think it was this past season, but you know it would have happened sooner if it wasn't for the pandemic and him being hurt. So he passed him this year at, I think, in the beginning part of this year. So he's 33 years old. He's 34 now. So imagine playing three or four more seasons, just hitting all them threes. No one's going to be able to pass him. Like,
yeah.
So I kind of, you know, so I'm trying to, like, you know, decipher everything else, everything all together. Like you say, he's got the two MVPs. He's got three championships. If he gets a fourth one, I'm sorry, man. I love Magic Johnson, but he might have to come out, man.
and you do have to keep in mind the totality of Steph Curry's contribution to the league.
Yeah.
Because he's changed the game. In a way that has not been seen since, I feel like, since people started dunking.
When I watch him, I'm amazed. Like, it's not too many people that amaze me on the court. Like, James Harden, he never amazed me. I think he's a good player. He never amazed me. Dwayne Wade, he's a good player, but he never really amazed me.
He did have amazing moments.
Yeah, he had an amazing moment. But when I watch Steph Curry, I'm amazed. Like, my man is shooting threes and walking back up the court knowing that it's going in. Like, just the things that he's done. I'm talking about 4 or 5 years ago he was doing this. So it's not like nothing new.
He's been consistent.
Yeah, he's been very, very consistent. Yeah, he's been hurt and everything like that, but I don't know any NBA player that just plays every damn game. You're going to go through trials and tribulations, but him to be back to where he is right now, be back in the finals, I'm sorry, man. I mean, Magic, he might have to get his ass up out. They called him tragic at one time. You know what I mean? So he might have to leave. Old man Larry Bird, he can get up out of there.
And that's tough because Magic has five rings.
He's got five rings. And I love Magic. He's a legend, man. Yeah. But I'm sorry, man. Like, just what Steph has done, he's just redefined the whole game. My man left Nike and went to Under Armour and made Under Armour
got it popping.
Got it popping. You know what I mean? Like,
and one thing,
nobody leaves Nike and then goes somewhere else and then builds up another shoe company.
Exactly.
The only reason we know Under Armour is because of Steph Curry.
And one thing Taylor said, we were discussing this earlier, is it's difficult for him to put people in that conversation when they're still actively playing.
Yeah.
Because you're still witnessing them every night.
Yeah.
It's not until they actually retire and step away from the game that you can take a step back and look like, okay, this is what they actually did over the course of their career.
Yeah.
And they definitely deserve to be in that conversation or not. So active players is a little bit of a sticky subject, but
When
Steph walks away from the league, it's going to be evident what he's done.
I'm being objective, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking about you know, Kevin Durant, if he gets another ring. I'm thinking of other people that's right on his heels. But right now, like, if he gets another ring, I'm sorry. Like, some people want to come out. I don't think he can get past, like, people like Tim. I think Tim Duncan is a great. People kind of sleep on him.
Tim Duncan is solidified.
Yeah, he's solidified. Yeah, you may not like how the way he played, but my man, once he got into the finals once he got into the playoffs and stuff like that, he was going long. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't getting knocked out in the early rounds. He was going for long. And if you got him in the second round, you're going seven games. If you beat him in the Western Conference Finals, it was going to be in either game six or seven. So mm-hmm. I'm just Steph is just I don't like. This is the first time they lost a game one. This one in the finals. You know what I mean? Yeah. So. He to me, if he gets this fourth one, I gotta put him in the top. I gotta put him in the top ten. Someone's okay. coming out. I'm not taking out Kobe or anybody like that. But if he gets this fourth one with what he's done in his career, and he's still got 3 or 4, maybe I'll just say 3 years good of him being a Steph Curry, you know, being that dominant player. I don't see any more MVPs. I don't see him getting any more MVPs. But if he's averaging like 20 points, you know, in these last 3 or 4 years, I'll put him up there. I mean, Oscar Robertson might be in some people's list. He can get his ass up out of there. You know what I mean? So
Mr. Triple Double.
You know what I mean? Isaiah Thomas might be up in there. I can see him being better than him. So I can see him as being the best point guard. He's not technically a point guard, but that's pretty much the position he's been in the past couple of years, you know what I mean? But his specialty is getting points. So, he's like I said, he's redefined the position, the game, everything like that.
And it's
so,
not even just from the standpoint of shooting.
Yeah.
People get mesmerized by the fact that he's an amazing shooter.
Yeah.
But aside from the fact that he's an amazing shooter, he's also amazing running off the ball.
Yeah.
Running off screens, using open space, relocating.
I think the last time
using
I checked.
Body fakes and up fakes.
The second or third most accurate free throw shooter. So mm-hmm. when he goes to the line, you know what I mean, he's going to get his guaranteed points. And then when he gets into the paint, he's a magician. Like
his
finishing is great. So people think about the threes, but he can get into that paint and get them points pretty easy too. So mm-hmm. he's not just a 3-point shooter. He can hit you with a pump fake going to that lane and make it look easy. But because he makes it look so easy, we kind of like
take it for granted.
A lot of people did that with Jordan, because after he left, people were like, yo, that He's a goat. You know what I mean? Like, once you make it look so easy to something that's very, very hard, I'm sorry. And then, I mean, he's done all this, you know, while, you know, everyone's, you know, who love LeBron James, he's done this in his era. So, I'm sorry, man.
It's arguable that Steph Curry took the era from LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So I got to give it to him. Like, the people was trying to give it to LeBron James, but he's like, nah, man, I got something to say. He could have easily took a back seat. Like, no, I'm good. And he don't want to play with LeBron either. Yeah, about LeBron? No, I don't want to play with him. I want to do my own legacy. So.
And there was a period in time when Taylor was convinced that LeBron was hating on Steph Curry and
he was hating on him. You know what I mean? But he knows that no one can talk about LeBron James without Steph Curry. Like, when you talk about Jordan, there's no one else to talk about. You can't talk about Barkley because he didn't win nothing. You can't talk about Pat Ewing, he didn't win nothing. You know what I mean? So, but when you talk about LeBron, you can't talk about his era without Steph Curry being involved up in there. So no. I think he will be in that top 10. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if he gets this ring, I'm going to start bringing him up. I will.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So he's going to be in my list no matter what, because I actually saw it with my own eyes. I never saw Wilt Chamberlain play. I never saw Bill Russell play. I saw Larry, but he was finished by the time I saw him. And it was a little bit. And I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a little bit, but like I said, he was finished too. And when I saw Magic, he was done too. So they were on the back end of their career. So me seeing with my own two eyes of Steph Curry just doing what he's doing, I'm not even thinking about the numbers. I'm just talking about with my own two eyes. I get mesmerized by what he does still.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, that'll do it for that discussion. And as we get out of that, we're going to move into Have You Seen, Have You Heard. So, Taylor, what you got for the people this week?
I want to get, we'll go with the sports right now. Did you see your boy Kevin Durant? I mean, he was hating on, Stephen A. Smith. He added all these cats, too. Yeah, he added Stephen A. Smith, Skip Shannon Bayless, Sharp, and Skip and Bayless.
Yeah, yeah.
He said they made what they do, you know, sports arguing and stuff like that, because that's what people like to see. I don't particularly watch that, but that's what gets the ratings.
Yeah.
He basically said that they made their analyzation of what they do. They made the
NBA worse.
NBA. They, what? Well, talking about what they do made it worse.
Because I think it was Stephen A. Smith said that, maybe it wasn't him, but one of the big names said that in some ways Michael Jordan made the game worse. There was a tweet about something along those lines.
What?
Yeah. So Kevin Durant hit back with the tweet that they actually make the NBA worse.
Those three made the game worse. Listen, they do what they do. People like watching arguing in the morning. Not me particularly.
If it wasn't them, it would be somebody else.
Yeah, it'd be somebody else. You know what I mean? So first of all, I need Kevin Durant to get tough skin. Like, this is what they do. So when people are so good at what they do, people are going to criticize. Everyone's not going to love you. I don't want everybody loving me. If I was a basketball, I want people hating on me. But right. MJ didn't have to go through that because it wasn't. This wasn't people was on no TV social like
media.
That. But
although
now that
MJ got his fair share of hate in the media from newspaper articles. And,
they hate him all the time, but it just wasn't on TV. So now that he's getting the smoke, he's kind of like, KD, I need you to get tough skin, man. I'm sorry, man. Like, you're a polarizing player. Everyone's not going to like you. Everyone's not going to be sucking your kneecaps and licking your boots. I'm sorry. That's just not what it is for you. It's just not what it is. I wouldn't want nobody doing it. I would want to hate so I can motivate myself to go out there and be a better player. So I don't know why he's hating on, and I'm not caping for either of those three. I know that Stephen A. Smith can be somewhat of a clown or a character. I've seen him in public. I never met him, but I saw, and he's not really like that. But he said this on TV. I play up. When I'm being hyped, I'm playing that up. I'm being like a character. He's kind of like wrestling.
Yeah.
When you go behind the curtain, you got to play up. But that's what the people want.
And that's what they pay him for.
And that's what they pay him for. And they pay Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bed to do the same thing.
Yep.
It's been exposed that when you come to, I forget who said it, one of the athletes came to argue with Skip Bayless. And Skip Bed asked him, well, what do you think? He said, well, I think it's going to be this way. And Skip Bed said, well, I'm just going to take the opposite. That's what they do. That's what they do on TV. So
whether they actually believe what they're saying or not,
exactly,
they just take the opposite opinion.
So I need KD to stop being taking everything so personal. And then, like, maybe like a year and a half ago, he's arguing with Michael Rappaport. Like, dude, like, you need to relax, man, and chill, man. Like, it's not that deep, man. Like, if people want to not agree with what you do and what you and what how you play and stuff like that, don't take it so personally. Just go to the gym and get your jump shot.
Don't take it personal.
Yeah, dude, man. Mm. Yeah, like Kevin Durant's my guy, but I need him to get some tough skin. Like, please, man. It's not that deep.
All right.
Yeah, so that was a heavy scene I've heard. Obviously, y'all heard about it, but I just thought that was weird that he's always tweeting something. Like, you need to be, if I'm out the playoffs and I'm a basketball player, I'm not saying nothing. I'm in the gym. I'm getting some massage. I'm getting my legs. Because when I come back next season, I'm killing all out here.
It's hard to say that to the guy that has multiple burner accounts.
15 burner accounts. Like, dude, why do you care?
And shadow watches people.
Yeah, that's like stuff like that we should be doing. We should be stalking people and stuff like that. Like, you are grown. 6'10" basketball player. You shouldn't care what anybody says about you. You got millions and millions of dollars. Like, why do you care, man?
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, please get you some business, man. Yeah,
get it together.
Yeah, and I just want to know. So the next one is YSL, Young Stoner Life. Did you hear that? Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five of the signed proffer agreements.
We knew it was coming down the pipe.
Yeah, we was coming down the pipe. They
started talking about them numbers they was facing.
Now I know what some
gonna
say.
Copping,
oh yeah, they ain't snitching and they ain't. Listen, I'm gonna take you back all the way back to 20 years ago. Everybody remembers episode 12, The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what said when D'Angelo went in there. Oh, he snitched. He signed a proffer agreement. Yes, he did. So when D'Angelo was up in there, remember when he saw Maury Levy and Avon, they came in there.
Yep.
He said, "Where the F is Wallace?"
Yep.
He didn't want nothing to do with them once he found out what they did to Wallace.
Uh-huh.
So he had ulterior motives. I'm giving up everybody. So when he had that black lawyer, that was a proffer agreement. So all I was saying, oh yeah, he snitched. Well, this is what these cats are doing right now on Young Thugs. So I don't know how many years Young Thugs going to get.
Oh no.
But this is what they're doing. So he signed a proffer. And remember, once he signed a proffer, he was giving everything up. And once you sign a proffer, they can't use what he says up against him in court. But he kind of cut a deal.
Yeah, so he agreed to a certain amount of time based on what he was facing.
Yeah.
And he gave some things up.
And that was art. And remember, that was that Wire stuff. That was based on a true story. Now, those people were all switched out, stuff like that. But that really happened. So now we're coming 20 years later. The proffer agreement, these cats have signed up against Young Thug and whatever. So that's why they denied him bail, because they got information already.
The first 48.
Yeah.
They singing like birds.
So I want you people to stop saying people standing talking. People snitching all day, every day. I'm telling you right now.
There's not too many out here nowadays.
People are not standing tall. Yeah, people are not standing tall no more, man. You out here flossing and showing what you do. People not be sitting up in no cell for no 4 or 5 of 4 weeks, let alone a year. So they gave it up. Yeah, you know I mean, gave it up real sweet and nice. So
gave you up on the platter.
Yeah, I mean, so if you had that same energy for D'Angelo 20 years ago, yeah, he snitched. Well, these cats are snitching too. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, yeah, you know I mean, they signed proffers, you know what I mean? And I think what Young Thug's baby mama got killed maybe like maybe a couple months ago. Mm. And the person that supposedly killed her, he's dead too. So I'm just letting you know. It go down in Atlanta streets.
Yeah, it's definitely go down in the A. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I mean,
don't get it twisted.
Yeah, so that was all with the Have You Seen, Have You Heard. Tell was up in the courtroom looking at people, you know, Tell, snitch. I love
all
it.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to go to trial or anything like that, but if it does go to trial, I will be taping it. I'm going to be watching that stuff, all the testimonies and everything.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for How You Seen, How You Heard this week. And as we get out of that, we're going to move into Big Deal, No Big Deal. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of things that I want to present to Taylor and get his opinion on to see if he thought that they were things of importance. And I'll give my opinion as well.
Yeah.
But we're going to start off with the fact, on a sports note, that this year we have what you would consider a homegrown finals. Yeah. Everybody, for the most part, that's core pieces of the teams mm-hmm. from Boston or from Golden State are people who were drafted.
Yep.
And grown in their system. There's yep. not a whole lot of situations where people were brought in, like Kevin Durant going to Golden State to
a super team list exactly. Finals. Yeah, I know what
exactly.
you mean. Yeah,
exactly. So is that a big deal or is that no big deal?
I think it is a big deal because you have to develop. You still can develop. You just have to develop teams through your own system. Mm-hmm. Remember Robert Williams? I remember they were when they drafted him, they were kind of like, I don't know about him. Yeah. But he's developing to a 10 and 9 guy. A guy that can get you 10 points and get you 9 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pritchard, the one that they drafted a couple years
ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Grant Williams.
Marcus Smart. All those guys been drafted on that team and been on that team for years. I even like that kid. He doesn't play that much. They drafted him this past year. I think his name is Naismith. I like him, too. He don't play that much.
Yeah.
So that whole team, only person they really traded for was Devin White. And that was like a late season this past year deal. Yeah, you know I mean, they got
technically Al Horford's not really homegrown, but he's been in Boston.
He's been
long,
in there for like 6, 7, 8 years. You
exactly.
know what I mean? Left and then came back. You know what I mean? But that was like a small time deal. They got him for like table scraps. You know what I mean?
But back they got him from Atlanta.
Yeah, but they had to take on his salary to get him there. But mm-hmm. They had to afford the salary, which they could because they only have they got rid of Kemba Walker, so you can afford another big time salary on your deal, as long as you can afford it. So
yeah.
I think it's a big deal. And of course, Golden State has had the same three guys there for years, and they played those guys. And Jordan
Poole
is about to get his quote unquote deal. He's probably gonna get a deal similar to what Van Pelt got a couple years ago, where you got $40 million for about $80 million over 4 years. And he's probably Jalen Brunson probably gonna get that same deal too. So yeah, so they can afford everything. So I do like the homegrown guys. They of course they traded for Wiggins, but that was because they they're all homegrown teams, pretty much.
Yeah.
You got a couple of but they're not like super teams. Like when they got Andrew Wiggins, they didn't think he was going to be what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically got him because Klay Thompson was hurt. So they needed somebody in there, just to play basketball. So
and D'Angelo Russell wasn't working.
Yeah, he wasn't working. Yeah. But,
okay. Klay,
but I think it's a big deal that you can get, you can homegrown these teams, you know, develop your own players. It might take 2, 3, 4 years to get that guy that you got in the bottom of the first round or the early second round to get them to where they're at right now. So, yeah.
Well, I agree. I think it's a big deal as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it necessarily signals the death of super teams, which is what I read about earlier this week.
There's always going to be super teams.
But, I think it's a good thing. I think it rewards teams that build their situations the right way.
Yeah.
Who, you know, draft well, make good signings,
mm-hmm.
have good cultures, have good coaches and trainers, and are able to cultivate this talent to, you know, reach the pinnacle, like a Milwaukee Bucks team from last year
mm-hmm.
or like the Phoenix Suns team from last year.
Yeah.
All right. So number two, on a sports note, Odell Beckham Jr. still hasn't signed with the team. Big deal, no big deal.
Nah, that's no deal. Remember, he tore his ACL. So I think he'll get a team. It may not be no time soon, and he's also 29 years old, and this might be the third time. He broke his leg with the Giants. No. Tore his ACL with the Browns last year, and then he just tore his ACL again. I don't know if it's the same ACL. So I think he'll get a job. Where are we at? July?
Early June.
Yeah, June. So I think July, let's just say it's once people start getting to training camp and they see their receivers, I think he'll get a job. And remember, the season is expanded, so they got 17 games. So he can probably contribute 3, 4, 5 games, hopefully, towards the end of the season, if he can get, you know, they doing ACL surgery, but they're doing transplants, so yeah. Or taking stuff from other, so just I think he'll be able to get back. Well, and I did see him working out recently on I think he was lifting weights, something like that. So I think he'll be able to play. So I think if they bring him in, do a physical, and just say, all right, we can guarantee that you'll play in December and stuff like this. So I think he'll get a job. I don't know if it'll be with LA though. That's the only thing about it. So he might be holding out for LA. I'm pretty sure other teams will offer him stuff, but he's probably holding out because he wants to play for LA.
On the outside, do you have a prediction for where he might go?
No, I have no idea where he's going to go. Like, okay. I said, a lot can change between now and July. I think he wants to play with LA though. Yeah, I don't know where the hell he's going.
Well, I agree with you again. I think that's no big deal.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we know Odell Beckham's going to end up on a team. You know, the question is just where.
Yeah.
It's not like people are just fleeing him and he's not going to be in the league this year like Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown damn near retired the other night. That's what he said. He said he don't want to play.
Well,
we don't want you.
Exactly. It's easy to say you retire and you're not coming back when don't nobody want
exactly.
Like, what are you talking
he's
about?
He's a monkey. We've seen your act. We don't want to see the monkey act no more. Get your ass on out of here.
That's like the dude that gets in the argument with the chick,
yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I don't want you no more. And he's like, okay, well, we should break up.
You've been broken up with already. You can't you can't do that. We don't want you, sir. We've seen your monkey act. Get out of here.
Oh, man. All right, so one more semi-sports topic. It has to do with a sports player,
yeah.
But it was announced last week that LeBron James is now officially a billionaire. The first active billionaire in any sports history.
Oh, okay.
Big deal or no big deal?
I thought he already was a billionaire, but no, it's no deal to me. I always thought he had surpassed that already, but no, it's no big deal to me. Okay. I mean, it's good for him to, you know, to develop his own companies and stuff like that, his own agency. That's what he's been doing, what people have been saying for years, what you've been supposed to be doing for years, building up your own entities
and your own equity.
Own equity and everything like that.
Why you getting all
this money? Yeah, why you getting all this money? So he's basically done what people have been supposed to be doing for years. He's only the only one person that's manifested it, hasn't gotten in no trouble, hasn't been in no hotel with no white woman.
No sex scandals.
Exactly, yeah. He ain't people and stuff like that. He just does what he wants, what he's supposed to do,
yeah.
and he's done it. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's a big deal at all. No,
but okay. I will give him a congratulations.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, congrats to that man.
I'm taking the opposite opinion on this one because I think that's a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's an active player and he has amassed this fortune, this amazing amount of money. And one thing, you know, a lot of people have the LeBron, well, not a lot of people, but a good amount of people have the LeBron Michael Jordan conversation as far as what they contributed to the basketball court.
Yeah.
But what LeBron James contributed to the game outside of basketball, just on a brains note, just on a smarts note, he put people in position, like his man Rich Paul, who's now one of the biggest agents in the league.
Met him at the airport.
His man Maverick Carter. So he's the prototype, the blueprint for what you can be if you're focused, if you dedicate yourself to your craft, you know, and if you
keep your circle tight,
approach it the right way.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. Shout out to LeBron on crossing the B, and
no shout out from Taylor.
You know,
we knew that one.
I salute him for what he did.
Exactly.
But he no shout out from me.
But obviously he's going to keep doing his thing. He's got a handful of seasons left in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got all kind of endorsements. He lives in L.A., so he could get into, you know, the Hollywood space if he wants to.
I think he executive produced that new Adam Sandler movie that's coming out. I think it's next week or something like that. He's had a hand in that. I forget what it's called, Hustle or something like that, yeah.
All right. So we have one more sports thing, and this is going to close it out for big deal, no big deal. But it was announced that Kanye West started an agency to manage talent, and his first client is Jalen Brown of the Boston Celtics.
I think you're wrong. So his first client was Aaron Donald.
What? Right?
Yeah, signed Aaron Donald first, and then Jaylen Brown came behind him 3 or 4 days later.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can check that. Yeah, but yeah, I think that's actually a big deal.
especially with his homie, the Jigga Man, who's also operating in that same space with Rock Sports. Rock Nation Sports.
These cave dwellers have been doing it for years. I want these black people to get. Listen, you listen to my music. You love me. Sign with me. But I think what he had to do was you got to make it look good. You know what I mean? So as long as you get two big players, yeah, man, yeah. Take some of these Snow Apes players, man. Come on, man. Get these. You got to have. Listen, this is how you create black business and stuff like that. So I don't mind Kanye West doing this. And even though I think Aaron Donald's a Jordan guy, and I think, what's his name?
Jaylen
Brown's a sneaker free agent right now. So listen, just I'll manage you. Just go. But you've seen what Kanye has done. And, you know, so I think it's pretty smart. So I don't mind those young players who probably listen to his music and they probably look up to him. And I think these guys are under the 30 or under. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And we're all going to get money together. And you know what, Kanye got his hands in all kinds of stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a horrible in relationships. But I think with a businessman, I think he's been doing very, very well. Yeah. And I think him moving towards this. I think that's fine. Yes, I think that's a big deal. And I think hopefully a lot of these players on the come up or about to get out of college or about to get into these leagues, hopefully they do. You saw what Jay-Z done with the Rock Nation. He's got a slew of players with his team.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Well, what,
and, of course, LeBron James, he's got his players too. So I do like seeing black powerful people creating their own stuff and bringing these cats in and saying, yeah, we all make money together. So I salute them for that, yeah.
Well, we're closing this segment out with agreement because I think that's a big deal, too. I think it's dope that, you know, another black man who has been able to acquire what he's been able to acquire is diversifying himself and going in another route. It's enough money in that space for everybody because the athletes is making crazy money and the managers obviously get a percentage off of what the athletes make. So just because Kanye's going into a space.
Is he signing podcasts?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that'll be next.
I mean, I know there's a podcast in Philadelphia area. I mean, two brothers, you know, from the suburbs trying to get they come up. I wouldn't mind if he, you know, signed us. You know, did I say us? I mean, just throwing it out there.
Sign those two brothers.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's hard working, dedicating, doing their thing every week.
I take the lowest deal. I don't even care. just let me get up in there.
But I think that's a very big deal. I think that's dope. And it was funny that I was watching either last week or a couple weeks ago. Nori has been consistent with this thing where he's trying to get rappers to stick mainly to hip hop outlets as far as media goes, because there are hip hop outlets now. So he feels like rappers who drop new music or who are doing things should go to Drink Champs, should go to Elliot Wilson and B-Dot and those type of places instead
$1 million worth of game.
Exactly. Instead of running to Zane Lowe and other more white outlets.
Yeah.
And we should have hip hop control the culture. So we should have black people empowering black people, and this is another example of that.
He's not wrong. I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Yeah.
All right. So that's gonna do it for Big Deal, No Big Deal. And as we get out of that, we're gonna move into the common sense space. And we have a topic this week that might piss some people off. It might ruffle some feathers. But the question this week is, who is more jealous in relationships, the men or the women? Mm. So I will start and give my opinion.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it's a toss-up, man. It's a little difficult to call because on any given day, you can run up on a dude that's got the green eyes like a mug. And the thing about these dudes, man, they'll go 10 toes down. They don't care, man. They will off a chick before they'll let her be with another dude. Like, it's crazy. Dudes is on some stuff out here.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the chicks can get jealous too, to where they staking out outside your crib and trying to duplicate your phone to get your messages sent to them and stalking your social media.
Flattening tires.
Showing up outside your job, blowing up your phone. Like, it can be a lot going on both sides. So I think on the jealous note, it just depends. Honestly, I'm not a jealous person, so I don't get it. I think that's kind of corny. Like, if you got to be jealous of the person that you're with, then why are you even with them?
Yeah, for
real. That don't make no damn sense to me. That sounds backwards. You should be with somebody who you feel like you could trust, because trust is absolute foundation in relationships. But that's how I feel. I think it's a toss up on any given day. The guy could be more jealous. The woman could be more jealous. It just depends on how it falls and who's. And as E said before we started this show, who's in their emotional bag more?
Yeah.
So Taylor, what do you think? Who's more jealous, men or women?
Oh, this is clearly men. Yeah, men. I've seen some men just lose it over, like, I was out not too long ago, and this man, he as soon as he walked into the building, he was looking at everybody's. He didn't want nobody looking at his girl. I was like, man, this is crazy, man. He didn't want nobody looking at her. He kept telling her to, yeah, go over here. He kept like just pushing her over there. I wasn't really paying attention to him, but then that's his girl. I said, why is he acting like that?
Why
you should just stayed home, like, yeah. But I've seen a lot of men get real fired out in public with their girls and stuff like that. Yeah,
you got the dudes that won't leave their chick side. They got to escort them to the bathroom. And if the chick got to go to, you know, another area to do this or that, he got to go with her.
I think that's why I am single, because I'm not really a jealous person either. I get jealous of men who have down-ass chicks. I'm like, dang, man, she down with you. You know what I mean? Like, dang, you could tell her anything. So I can get jealous like that. Like, dang, man, I need me a girl like that, man. I want to be up in the photos. You know what I mean? holding hands and all that stuff. But I'm not a jealous person. Like, it's just not in me. You know what I mean? So when a girl says I'm leaving, I'd be like, good. You know what I mean? So with me, it's a little bit different. But yeah, I think guys are just. I've seen guys cry.
Yeah,
yeah.
Guys will lose their stuff. Will break down. Their life will be in shambles. Depression. All the whole nine.
Yeah, I've seen guys not eat. I've seen guys I've seen guys on stakeouts. I've seen it with my own eyes over feet. Man, some of these females, I don't want to go into look, but they just look okay. You know what I mean? I've seen guys just go insane. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I think it's men. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Men are really, really, really they show the female traits in my eyes. That's just my opinion.
You know? Well, today they do, but my opinion. Females are jealous creatures by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And it don't have to be over another woman. It could be something they have, something they don't have.
It could be over your friends. Jealous of the time you spend with your homies.
Yeah, but you know what? It depends on who you pick. Like I said, you know, some people jealous, some people over jealous, and some people are just downright dramatic. But as far as who, I'm always going to say females are more jealous, but just because of the way they are by nature. Yeah. They're just jealous by nature.
Mm-hmm.
But you got some of these, you know what, made guys out here.
You know what?
I'll say it.
Oh, no.
I'll pay you more money.
Oh, no.
That's what they are.
You got what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be crazy because sometimes guys be jealous over these buckets. Like, yo, dude, for real, she's a bucket.
Mm. Yeah.
She's a bucket. And you just, hey, that's on you. Like, I can't say. I'm not a jealous person. I don't. That's just me personally. I'm too laid back and I might be a little too cocky. Like, yo. You with me, you with me. I'm not worried about it. you sleep in my bed every night. I sleep in the bed with you every night. Look, you know, that's, but me personally, my lady just doesn't give me any reason to be jealous.
Yeah.
But
well, that's dope.
But even if she do, I don't know. I think it's kind of whack. I literally think it's kind of whack.
Some people just don't have time for the jealous stuff, man.
I just think it's so. Like, if they with you, and if you got to put the clamps on them, on, you know, whether it's a guy or girl, because, you know, if you got to put the clamps on them like that, then what you in it for? That's
exactly.
A waste of time.
If you got to force somebody to be with you,
it's so many,
of pressure. Like,
it's so many people out there that's just not that way. That's
what
looking
are you doing?
I don't know. It's weird. Jealousy, you know, I'm used to it from women. That's I was married a long time. I'm just used to. I've seen it at its peak.
Women are jealous of their own shadow.
Listen, they be jealous of their own siblings. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I know women are jealous of their mama, and mama's jealous of their daughters. I've seen that before. A fact. Yeah, but I think females. I think they know that they're jealous. I think guys don't know. And they are, and it shows of what they
do. Play it off like it's something else.
Play it off like it's something else.
Like, I just care that much. Yeah. I just love her that much. Yeah. No, jealous.
Yeah,
relax.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah, so that's
get yourself under control.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, that's just not my cup of tea, man. I ain't got time to be sitting there. Some women want you to be jealous over them, though. Some women, if you're not jealous, it doesn't show them enough that you care, or the opposite. Like, you might not show, like,
I think that's why I'm saying, I don't care. I don't care. Go ahead with that man and come on back. You know what I mean? Don't come back empty handed.
Have either of y'all seen
the
TikTok video when they compare a guy leaving the house to his woman leaving the house?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
So they have the guy leaving the house. No, they have the woman leaving the house. I'm sorry. And she's like, baby, I'm going out with my friends. He's like, all right, I'll catch you later. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you don't care where I'm going? And he's like, nah. And he's like, you don't care who I'm going with? Nah, go ahead, have fun.
No.
And she's going down all this stuff. And he's like, nah, like, go do your thing. So then he's leaving the house. And she's like, where are you going? Mm. Who are you going with? When are you going to be back? And it was just funny.
Yeah. I think females, I think they know, and they can't control it. You know
no,
what I mean?
They can't. That natural. It's natural.
But when men are jealous, they deny it, but they really are. And I know a man. He was, I think, a guy was talking to a girl. I'll make it real fast. And another guy who was in his family, so he was just talking to the girl. I was like, dude, he's just their family. Like, he has his own girl. Like, he ain't trying to talk to. Yeah, like, yeah, he was. No. He talking to her for too long. I said, oh my god,
I ain't jealous, bro. Yeah, like that's just how much I care.
That's your family. He's not trying to get at her. They damn near. He's talking to his damn near family. It was weird, man. I just thought it was weird. I've seen that.
I slide off, bro. Yeah. I just slide to the side and let you have that.
I don't got time for it, man. If, like I said before, if I got to be jealous of you and worry about where you going or who you with and all that other kind of stuff, I can't be in it, man. That stress is just too much, bro. Stress will kill you.
Yeah.
Y'all stay cool out here. So that's going to be it for the common sense space this week. And as we move out of that, we're going to move into our one edition of Top 5. And we wanted to pay a little homage and tribute to some musical artists. So our Top 5 this week is going to be concerts we'd pay to see. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're talking about this is because it's a lot of cats out here that's making music and we wouldn't pay to see them. It's not happening.
But there's a lot of people out here that we do like, but we're like, yeah. I mean, I like his music. I like it in my ears. I like it in my car. But I'm not spending no dime. I'm not getting dressed up and taking the lady out and putting the cologne on. You ain't doing all that. But you like that music. But so it's kind of like a decision. Are you going to pay your own hard earned money to go see this person, this band, or whoever?
Yep.
Whoever it is. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
All right. So, at number 5 on my list, I have a guy who goes back and forth as being my favorite artist, favorite rapper, but he's from Brooklyn, Mr. F.A.B., Fabulous, Loso.
He's on tour right now, too.
Yeah, and Fab tours a good amount. He tours with other good acts, and he's got a dope catalog. You know what I'm saying? He's got a whole lot of music. I came up with a couple of joints that I would just like to see him perform. It might be a little difficult because it was so far back in his musical history, but I'd like to see him do Breathe. Mm. It's a mixtape joint, but I would like to see him do Young OG. And I would like to see him do Cold Summer. But Fab's one of them joints that you can go to and you're not quite sure what you're going to get as far as the performance. You're not quite sure what you're going to hear, but it's all gonna be dope,
bro. I'll pay to hear Fab do the Soul Tape 2 and the Soul Tape 3 mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him years ago. He was opening up for I think I was coming in and he was opening up for Jigga Man.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's crazy because when I first heard the second mixtape, the second one, the Soul Tape.
Yeah.
My favorite joint was We Get High, and I had just started smoking bud, bro.
Yeah, that joint is dope.
We get high.
I don't even think that.
It was like a slow down. No, fat
oh,
part
smokes? Takes. Okay, all right. No,
fast smokes. I've seen him in quite a few IG posts with the blunt in his mouth.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. That's a that was pretty solid for him. Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, so number 4 on my list, I'm gonna take it to a guy who is absolute live wire. I heard his shows are dope. We were talking about him before we started the show, and E said he would like to see him live again, but it's gonna be Chris Brown.
Breezy.
Chris Brown, when you go see him perform, I've never seen him personally, but I know that he brings everything to the show.
You
does
definitely
the dancing,
getting your money's worth.
You know what I'm saying? He does the singing. You know what I'm saying? You get the full package with him.
Wasn't he dancing on like some type of center cylinder at one of his tours or something like that? Like some type of, it wasn't the stage. He was on some like some center type thing. And the thing was moving or something.
I don't know.
He was sliding up and down. I said, damn. He had like some type of bungee cords on. I said, not playing. Hey, Breezy.
But yeah, man, he got there's something in this liquor.
Oh, yeah.
Breezy. I gotta hear that. You gotta do Look at Me Now. And the thing about it is we gotta have Wayne and Busta in the building to perform that.
Oh yeah, I remember that track.
And his current joint, We Warm Embrace.
Yo, just remember,
you gotta do that one too.
If you go see a Breezy show, you better be prepared to put your fingers in your ear, bring you some plugs, because that them screams are deafening.
Oh yeah.
They're deafening.
But yeah, I would think it was dope to call my girl and tell her, yo, we got tickets to a Chris Brown concert. So, you know what I'm saying? Get ready.
We got a song called Summer Breeze. Oh, that joint is hard, man. Woo! It's like a summer breeze. Woo! That joint is hard, man. Okay, Breezy.
All right. So, number 3, I'm going to take a little bit off of the beaten path, at least for myself publicly. And I'm going to say that I would love to pay to see a Journey concert.
Journey.
Don't stop.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got to see them do Separate Ways. I got to see them do Don't Stop Believing. And any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Yeah. All that.
Lord have mercy. Journey.
I feel like that would be a dope live show. They would definitely bring good energy. Even though, you know what I'm saying, they did their thing back in the 70s and 80s.
I wonder if they still got their original members.
I don't know. I don't know how many of them are still out here, but that's the thing about a lot of these older groups.
People
are dying off.
Yeah, people die, but they'll throw somebody up in there. Sometimes it'll be better, sometimes it'll be for the worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so number 2 on my list, I got to take it to a guy who I've never seen perform as well, but his performances are dope because everybody in there is on a vibe. They smoked out. They be passing him tree. He be passing them tree. He's got dope cuts, and it's Currency. New Orleans zone. And every now and again, he does fall through Philly. I saw a couple of years ago, I think he did a concert at that place down on South Street.
Yeah.
The TLA?
TLA, okay.
But Spitter got dope shows, and I would just like to see that live.
He does a lot of spot shows. He does a lot of, I think he did one down in Tampa recently. He's
currently on a tour with a live band, and he did a show up in New York not long ago.
Okay.
But he's got all kind of joints I would love to hear. But one of my favorite joints from him is Mugello Red. So he would have to have Rosé in the building so they could do that together.
What's the joint called? This shit is hard. The joint he did with Conway. Is it Riviera Beach? Am I saying that?
Yeah. Riviera Beach.
Yo. Him and Conway. And I think he had a remix with Bodie James. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, okay.
All right, so I'm finishing up with my number 1. She is the only female on the list, but I love her music. I love her voice. I talked about it before. It's the one and only Miss Anita Baker. I would love to see her live. She's got to perform Sweet Love.
Yeah.
She's got to perform Caught Up in the Rapture. And she's gotta perform No One in the World.
Okay.
I think she might have came close to hanging it up as far as tours, because I feel like a couple years ago she was doing a tour and it was supposed to be like her last time coming to Philly or something like that, and I didn't get a chance to make it. It was down at Temple. But I did see she was on tour, or she was performing recently. Lil Wayne was there, and she saluted him out in the crowd. So yeah, maybe she's back to it. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Don't they have like soulful stuff at the Man Theater? That's what it's called.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they have one like every like July or something like that. She might be on that bill. You might have to check it out.
I might have to, because I would love to see her perform.
Yeah, and I know they're trying to get that back up and running. The Man, is it called the Man Center?
Yeah,
up in Fairmont.
I think it's in Jersey.
No, I'm talking about the joint in Fairmont Park. The Man.
I know what you're talking about.
They remade the stage and all that stuff, man. Yeah,
I think I used to drop people off there back when I drove Uber.
Yeah, man.
I thought you was talking about the Dell at first.
Maybe I am talking about the same. I don't know venues.
No,
like
it's called the Man.
The Man.
The Dell is out there and the Man is out there. The Dell is on the east side of the river.
Okay.
And I think the Man is on the west side of the river where near the Platte.
Platte, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about the Man.
The Man, yeah. Okay.
Shit, I would love to see all five of them perform in person, and I would gladly pay my hard-earned money to go out and do that.
I got you.
So Taylor, what you got for your top five concerts you'd pay to see?
Oh, man. Number five is one of the members have passed away, but I think they have all the members together. Taylor has to go see Earth, Wind & Fire, man. Those guys are older.
EWF.
I think Maurice Wright, but as long as they still got Philip Bailey.
Philip Bailey, he's the lead, right?
If he's there, I'm there.
Well, Philip's always going to be there.
Yes.
And now it's
Philip.
So you're talking about somebody who's actually done some work on their show. So
yes,
Philip's still there.
Yes.
Ralph is still there.
Yes.
Verdeen is still there. So you got the core.
I have to go see those guys. I forget where I was at, and I think it was like a New Year's Eve party, and they was on TV, and it's Rock the House, man. I said, yo, man. I said, I gotta go see them. This is like maybe five or six. I'm in someone's house watching them. I said, I gotta go see those cats live, man. Before God calls them. I gotta go see them brothers, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man. So Earth, Wind & Fire, I have to go see those cats, man. I grew up on those. My parents grew up on those. So for me to see them, I have to go see those guys, man. I don't care if I'm the youngest man there, and I probably won't be there, but I won't be. But I have to see Earth, Wind & Fire, man. Like, come on, man. Yo, man, I gotta go see Earth, Wind & Fire, man.
Okay.
Together as one. I gotta go see him, man. I have to, man.
Do
go see
you
him,
remember?
Man. Yeah, come on, man. Oh my God, man. Number four, Philly's own Jill Scott. Taylor has to go see Jill Scott.
Jill Scott experience.
Taylor, I had a crush on Jill Scott for a long time.
If you're going to say it right, say it's the Jill Scott.
I got to see the Jill Scott experience. I have to go see it, man. Oh, my God, man. I just got to, man. I just want to take a long walk.
I always said, man, if I could be the meat between a love sandwich,
man,
it'd be Jill Scott and Jasmine Sullivan.
Yeah, man. Jill Scott, man. I just think she's amazing, man. Last time I checked, she's still performing. I know she does her acting thing right now, but if she gets back on that stage, Taylor will pay his own money to go there. And I might be in the front. Yeah, man. Yeah, Jill Scott. I think he's incredible, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Number three, it's an upset. Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins. Ooh.
Now, I think originally when they came out, they was dope. Then I think my man left the group, but I think last time I checked, I think in 2019 or 2020 he was on tour. I think the core was back together. The killer in me is the killer in you. I gotta go see Smashing Pumpkins, man.
Bet y'all ain't no Taylor like the Pumpkins.
Yo, man, they are dope, man. Back in 96, man, when I was like, yo, man, these cats are dope, man. Yeah, man. So I gotta go see them. If they're originally back together, because I remember for a time they had broken up and they had like some folk group out there. But now I've heard that they back together right before the pandemic. I will go see, I don't care, man. I gotta go see the Smashing Pumpkins, man. Man, don't get me started, man. I'll be up in there singing, had crying, man. You got some beautiful music, yeah. Number two, So it's going to be a little caveat with this. I want to go see Kanye West, but not the concert. I want to go see Kanye West at Sunday service.
You want to go to Sunday service?
I want to go to Sunday service, man. Yo, man, I saw one of them Jones on, I think it was on, I forget where, they was outside near some damn lake.
Yeah.
Yo, that joint was live, man. I said, I gotta go, man. Like, I wanna go see that man perform and sing the gospel. I wanna see that, man. Yeah, man. I wanna go see Kanye West. You know what I mean? So Taylor has talked reckless about Kanye West. Yes, he has. But Taylor can be object. I wanna go see the Sunday service, man. Yes, man. I wanna go see that man cry. I wanna see him on his knees. I wanna see all that stuff. I wanna see the performance of Kanye West on a Sunday. I don't care if it's outside or indoor. I just wanna see a Kanye West Sunday service. Hopefully it's free. I don't know. I mean, like I said,
they'll probably take up a collection.
This is all about paying. I would pay to see a Sunday service.
They'll probably take up a collection.
They put in the collection place.
Yeah, you can put your stuff in the bucket.
Yeah, I want to go see it. And I don't
put
care
your stuff in the collection place.
If you take my money and put it toward the Gap or the Gap clothes or the Yeezys, I want to go see Kanye West because I saw it on TV and I was like, yo, man, this is amazing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So I definitely would pay to see Kanye West at Sunday service. Absolutely.
Sunday service. All right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But number one, why Taylor made this list. I think this person's on this tour, and I think it was a bunch of people, but front row seat, and probably I'll be there in a white beater. Taylor wants to go see Ashanti.
Really?
I don't give a. I know maybe she may not be the best singer, but she be wearing them damn leotards or whatever she be wearing. I'm gonna be front row, and I might get tackled because I might try to get up on that stage. Man. Taylor wants to go see Ashanti. Front row right there when she's bending over and she's doing all types of matrix type stuff. Taylor's gonna be up on that stage. He's probably gonna get tackled and probably get hit over the head with a billy club because he's trying to accost Ashanti. I gotta go see an Ashanti show. I'm sorry, man.
That was strange.
Yeah. She is
Ashanti.
Lord have mercy. I don't even care what song. Baby, I probably won't even listen. I'll just be looking at her. Definitely gotta go see my girl Ashanti, front row.
Not gonna hold you. Rain on Me is still one of my top cuts.
I don't care about the vocals.
She's the ultimate hook singer. That's her. All her. It's like her whole song is the hook.
Mm. I'm front row. Like I said. Once I get if I'm gonna be looking on the side. They got their back turned. I'm rushing the stage.
Coast is clear.
Yeah. You gonna see Taylor getting dragged off with his feet, and I'm probably gonna be crying.
Taylor's going to be on World Star, so keep your eyes off if Ashanti comes to the Philadelphia area.
It will be
area.
Me. Yeah, if you see a black about 5'11" getting dragged off the stage, it's probably me. Yes.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so yeah, Ashanti's my number one. I'm sorry.
All right, cool.
Been number one since I started this list.
I think I can run down a couple real quick.
All right, E, what you got?
So, of course, 5 would be Chris Brown. I'll pay to go see that again anytime.
Breezy.
Another show I'd go pay to see is the Jay-Z and Friends tour.
Okay. I was going to put Jay on my list, but the Jay-Z tour I would have wanted to see was maybe like back when they did the Watch the Throne tour or something like that. It wouldn't really be a current Jay-Z tour.
Yeah, I saw Jay-Z twice, so that's why he's not on my list.
I would love, even though it's about 20 years later, I would love to see another Dr. Dre and Snoop Up in Smoke tour.
Okay.
That was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the halftime show. I thought the halftime show was pretty cool.
Wow. Did you ever see the Up in Smoke tour?
I used to see it on TV and stuff like that. That they went out with Eminem and everything.
Yeah, Eminem, Ice Cube, and all them. Yeah, that show was.
Yeah, the production I saw, and remember they went overseas, and it got even better. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Up in Smoke would be dope.
I'd love to see Mint Condition.
Ooh, what kind of man would I be?
Because they shows are off the chain.
If you love me unconditionally.
And of course, number one. And I've been hooked, and I'll tell you how I started. My birthday, it might have been my 19th birthday, 1996. I didn't want to go at first. My mom and my stepdad took me to see Earth, Wind & Fire at the Man.
Yeah, man.
And I was young and ignorant. Even though I liked them, I didn't really care to go to the concert at first.
Nigga, you're not going to appreciate it when you... How did you say you were?
Now, hold on. Let me finish the story.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that concert was over,
yeah,
I think I seen Earth, Wind, and Fire for the next 4 years every year until I was deployed.
Mm.
But that first concert was like, it was Earth, Wind, and Fire. It was Rochelle Farrell and George Duke. It was the Osley Brothers.
Ooh.
It was the Whispers. Like, yo, and I'm telling you, them OGs was out there smoking Love Boats. They had joints.
You saw the Whispers?
The Whispers.
Lost and turned down. Lost and turned down.
My man Dre loves that song.
Yeah,
man. Lost and turned down. On the way to grandma's.
Yes.
I love that song.
Yo, they said the Pimps was so pissed when they made that song. They said they pissed off pimps all around the country.
That's why I love that song. It's like the Pimps' kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
but it's a great song.
And it's smooth. And if you're not paying attention, you're not going to know what they're talking about.
A wolf in sheep's clothing came, blew her mind, and changed her ways. And now she's turned out. Yo, that was so slick, buying that dude a caddy. But yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire, their concerts were great. I seen it the year after Maurice stopped touring. Right, because he stopped touring in 95.
Yeah,
and I seen it the next year, and I was so upset because I wanted to see Maurice.
Yeah,
I didn't care to see Sheldon Reynolds singing After Love Is Gone, but he did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met Sheldon, and he's great. I've met the guys, and like, yo, there's some really, and on top of that, there's some good guys. Cause like, they did a concert, right, in Hampton. And I wanted to meet him again.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him. You know, sometimes they don't remember you. But Ralph, and this is right after the concert, dude, and sat out there and talked with me for about an hour and a half. Him and Verdine. So not only was the concert great, but the experience with those guys, you know, just to have those conversations with them was great.
That's dope.
For a while.
just
the way they start their songs off was just so beautiful, man. Like, yo, man, how do y'all do this, man? This is crazy, man.
Hey, there you go.
And the one bull wrote all the songs, right?
There they go, yeah.
Maurice wrote all the songs.
He wrote all the songs, yeah.
And when Maurice didn't even want to be the lead singer.
No.
He said Philip was supposed to sing everything, but Philip's voice was too high. He said, I needed to sing the man stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Dancing in September. Lord have mercy.
All right. Yay. Well, that's going to do it for top five for this week.
I thought about putting Griselda up there, but they got to all be together, man.
Yeah,
but
you got to see all three of them at once.
But Taylor might have to carry something when he goes there. But last time I checked, their shows are pretty peaceful. You know what I mean? So, but I think they're on tour now, but they ain't coming to Philly, which would probably be a good thing. They're going to like outer skirts places. You know what I mean?
Can I give one honorable mention?
Might
be going to Allentown. It's a lot of concerts they have in Allentown.
Yeah. I think the closest thing they was coming to was like, maybe like Virginia. I'm not going
to
Virginia.
One honorable mention. And if you get a chance to find a market venue where he's going to be, Tech N9ne.
Oh, yeah. Tech N9ne.
His shows is off the chain.
Tech N9ne's following is crazy, too.
Yeah, he's been touring like that for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm. Tech N9ne get that bread.
And still puts out music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, bad.
Yeah, I heard his stuff is pretty superb. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna close out this week's episode with Mike's Minutes. So my message for y'all this week is pretty much don't be a zombie, man. It's very easy to get caught up in the cycle of Monday through Friday work life, and then you got your weekends where you kind of chill out a little bit, but you don't really do too much. You just be in the crib or have a couple friends come over or something like that. But you gotta get out here, man. You gotta live life. I had the experience of going to Hershey Park for the first time yesterday. I was invited, and I went out there. It was a dope time. We got on all kind of roller coasters, and they had me up there screaming and looking all crazy in the pictures when they take the pictures at the worst possible times.
Oh yeah, when like when the dip is about to go or something like that. Yeah, they never get you when you're going up when you come.
Yeah, but it was the first time I had been to an amusement park in over 10 years, and you know I had a great time. I felt like a kid again. So, sometimes you got to do, sometimes you got to do stuff like that, man. You got to get out here and have experiences and have fun, do stuff with your life, man. Definitely work hard so you can have that bread coming in and you can finance the things you want to do, and definitely make time to play. And, you know, maybe most importantly, make sure that we educating ourselves as well, keeping your face in books as much as possible, you know, feeding your mind and bettering yourself. Because one thing I preach to anybody is about bettering yourself. You don't compete with nobody. Only competition for you is the person in the mirror, and you just want to be better tomorrow than you was today, you better just said, next year than you was this year.
You just said put something in the book, man.
Yeah, man, listen, you...
You know the old saying, right? You want to hide something from a put it in the book. You heard that saying, right?
I have heard that.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, no.
I heard that years ago.
But it's all kind of information in books, man. And anything that you want to learn about as far as yourself, as far as bettering yourself, as far as thinking differently, as far as improving your health, improving your fitness level, anything you want to learn, you can learn in a book.
If you want to hide your weed and some change, put it in the book.
Yeah, that's what I say. You want to hide something from a nigga.
And yo, Mike.
Yo.
You know what? I know how you can avoid the crazy roller coaster pictures.
What's that?
Because me and B, we some roller coaster. We you know, we get six season tickets.
Okay.
And we only ride the roller coasters at Six Flags.
Well, I love the roller coasters.
And we got the same face.
Let me just ask y'all a question. Do y'all get the fast pass?
Sometimes
I heard. Well, last time I checked, the prices aren't that. They used to be high. They've kind of gone lower because people don't really go out like that no more.
Yeah.
And so you can get in there, and when the last time I was there, they didn't even have the fast pass. They just had people just going in.
No. They still got the fast pass. They changed it a little bit. Not this year, but last year, like season tickets was crazy cheap. We got season passes for like $45 with the parking and everything.
I heard
it was going like twice a week.
Heard the prices are not that crazy. And also during those pictures, we do the same thing. We knew where the pictures was, so we would do the mean mug. So
yeah. That's what I was saying. I got a roller coaster face. Everyone, I'm like,
that's the thing. I never been to Hershey Park, so I didn't know where cameras is at. All these roller coasters are brand new to me. If we went to Donnie Park or Six Flags, then I'd be cool.
This was years ago. They was like, yeah, man, when you get to the jump, we know the flight. We jump, just do the mean mug. So every time the jump, we was doing the mean mug. Like, it was fun. So everyone else looked crazy. And us, eight black with they arm folded with the ice grill. It was funny as hell. God. It was fun. So we would try to do that every roller coaster. We was trying to do the meme, but they'd be like, yo, Taylor, you messed it up. I said, I don't know where the cameras is at. Y'all gotta tell me.
But that's all I'm simply trying to say to y'all this week, man. Don't be zombies. Don't slug your way through life. Don't take it out on people because things ain't the way you want them to be. If things ain't the way you want them to be, change them yourself. Figure it out. Ask somebody. Ask questions. Get advice. Read books. Look at YouTube. I'm saying, learn something, figure something out, and do something with yourself, and don't just be out here taking up space. So that's gonna do it for us this week, season 4, episode 11. We appreciate everybody for checking in with us again, as usual. We'll be back with y'all next week, and follow us on Twitter and IG at Sleep Is For You. That's SLEEPIS, the number 4YOU. Look out for episodes on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, and YouTube. Check out sleepisforyou.com. Check out the blog vault. Like I said, we got more new content and posts coming very soon. And, you know, let us know what you think. Leave comments. Leave reviews. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all be safe out here. Watch your body. If you in Philly, stay away from South Street for a little while. Although I doubt if it's anybody going to be doing anything wild out there after what happened. But
my God.
Yeah, man. Y'all take it easy, man. Be careful. Be watchful. Mindful.
Salute to the Phillies for getting Joe out of here. Time for Joe to go.
Happy trails, Joe Girardi.
Yeah, it's time to tell you. Yeah, you got to change the tempo of the team. So hopefully they just swept out today. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be going down there real soon. So we'll see.
Okay.
But it was time for Joe to get out of here. Thank God.
Anything else you want to say to the people? All right.
Peace, people.
All right. All right. Well, like I said, y'all be good out there, and we'll get with y'all next week. Water.
Back. free to return to that emo rap. Ain't no kilo stash, Augusta's son had to reload that. Daddy gone, but his legacy strong, how do you figure? I too thought I'd be dead, all things considered, but I'm living, thriving and growing, fighting opponents that I'm with it. Striving to know who died for the lowest, don't you get it? The industry hopers try to control us, I ain't with it. I got me a goal that's highly explosive with my wife and my baby. What I'm writing is waiting, call me Esso or Bebenberg. They knighting me lately, stand where the light is, feeling lighter, delighted, and maybe I'm getting grown. Nothing wrong with Bible and Bailey's. I open up the text, got my mind closer off the edge. Ghost the architect, I ain't gotta go to your connect. I gotta go direct, him and I, through the sun up.